You are listening to David Kaplan, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Welcome back, ESPN 1000. Again, as we told you a little bit ago, Yasmani Grandal off the board. Brewers free agent catcher has agreed to a four-year, $73 million deal with the Chicago White Sox. And Andy Martino of SNY, that is a TV station much like NBC Sports Chicago in New York. He is reporting the Sox may be the front runners on Zach Wheeler.
So it sounds like. I've heard that in the last couple of days, actually.
Joe Mottola, diehard Sox fan. Cap, still don't have a manager. It's hard for me to get excited when I know this manager will never take them to the postseason.
Touche, Joe.
Harrison Burt says, Chris Black, Cap, we picked a guy that played 13 games and lost the Sun Bowl, but left-handed is where you're drawing the line.
That's true.
I don't want a left-handed quarterback.
Really? Why?
No.
Bringing back Jim McMahon and do a left-handed quarterback?
That's it. So, can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Jackass in there. That's I
listen.
Can't read that.
I forgot. I forgot you just celebrated your 68th birthday.
Boy,
and you
it,
forgot
funny.
Your readers. Carm's a young, strapping, handsome man. He can read it.
Yeah, my eyes are terrible though. But here it goes. We are excitement. We are intensity. We are the Wolves. Catch the Chicago Wolves in person at Allstate Arena during next week's Thanksgiving holiday. Games on the 27th and the 30th. And use the offer code FAMILY. That's FAMILY when purchasing your tickets at Ticketmaster.com/ChicagoWolves to get a $5 discount on each ticket. What a deal.
Yeah, Danny prints it. In
but
like,
it is small.
And he gave it to me in a small font. I go,
great deal.
Oh, what happened? You couldn't make it smaller?
So he did.
So he did.
You better watch it. Danny, you know.
That guy. So.
He'll make it smaller all right on you. He'll make it so you can't even
he's
see
he's used
it.
To small things. Anyway. 312-332.
HR?
What?
You're first that, you offend lefties.
You're in that small booth.
All right.
You're in that booth. That
yeah, I don't think that's
small.
An HR issue, though. I don't know.
I love small booths. Tiny.
I don't mind left-handed, right-handed, as long as he's accurate. You know, it doesn't matter to me. Can you play? If you can play, you can play, you know?
So he said. If he throws with his you-know-what, I don't
care. Yeah, right. Like, you know, I mean, does it really matter? I mean, maybe it changes things in how you form your offensive line because, you know, maybe your right tackle then needs to be the better of the two because you're protecting the blind side. There haven't been a ton of great left-handed quarterbacks, right? I mean, who's the best?
The best ever? Steve Young.
Steve Young, yeah, easily.
Steve Young, Kenny Stabler, only two left-handed.
Kenny Stabler's up there, right?
Only two left-handed in the Hall of Fame. The last one that had any kind of impact was Yurko's guy, Mark Brunell.
Yeah, Brunell.
Look at me.
Boy, I forgot about Brunell.
Or Michael Vick.
You remember Scott Mitchell?
Yeah, Scott Mitchell in Detroit,
Michael Vick.
Yeah, started in Miami from Utah.
But you go back and look at their numbers.
Boomer.
Not really. Boomer
was good, yeah.
But you're going back. Mark Brunell did an article with Dan Weider a few years ago. Dan just reposted it. He said, we're a dying breed, man, and we may be extinct. They had, I think, of the last 60 quarterbacks that have been drafted, zero lefties.
Why is that? Are they all playing baseball or what? I mean,
you know where there's more value.
Well, exactly. You go where your career will be a lot longer. You'll get paid more probably.
And Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardle never had a problem catching left-handed quarterbacks. So, there's no stigma theoretically against them. Steve Largent is in the Hall of Fame because of Jim Zorn. I mean, Zorn was the one throwing him all the touchdown passes.
Baselli played left tackle, right, Yerk?
Yeah.
They never moved him to right for Brunell,
no,
did they?
No, they had Leon Searcy.
They had Searcy, that's true. That, right. You guys had a good
the article
line,
that I just read at break said that too many teams said, oh, God, if we get a lefty, now we got to go find some awesome right tackle. We don't have one. Now we're not doing it.
Yeah, they got Searcy. They got Baselli in the draft in 95, and then they Searcy in free agency.
Boy, that's from a good line, man.
From Pittsburgh, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
That's
yep.
a hell of a yeah, pair of tackles.
That's a good pair.
And Chris shoved in centers and guards over the course of time.
Chris Tabor meeting with the media just now on telling Eddie Pinheiro that the Bears were not going to bring in another kicker to compete. You're our guy. You need to play better.
Boy.
End of story.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad he threw in that you need to play better.
You need to play better. Because it's a one-year deal for you if it's not, champ.
So.
You know the best kicker that's out there that's still a free agent?
The best that's still a free agent. Boy, I wouldn't even begin to know.
Sure you would.
Yeah, Cardi Parkey.
Double.
I thought he signed in Tennessee.
They only 2 weeks because they brought back
Ryan Suck up, their kicker. He was only out for 2 weeks.
Well, I didn't see. I don't follow the kicker story.
But how about this?
Nobody does. I happen to hear that.
So Gostkowski goes on IR. They bring in Mike Nugent, I think, for a week or two.
Yeah, they cut him.
And then they went and found a guy who did not kick in 18, only appeared in 4 games in 17, and he's 5 for 5.
Nick Folk. Yeah.
So they're going the wrong way to find these kickers. If they think you're just going to the colleges, you're going to find your kickers there. They need to go to Australia.
Yeah, you got to go to Europe.
Go to New Zealand.
Yeah,
go look at all these
the Vikings
rugby
gave
teams.
Up a fifth-round pick for.
That's it.
Kari Vedvik.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go over there.
Go
free agent-wise.
Go to Australia.
Take
go to
your
Europe.
Guy.
Yes. Yes.
Go to Adelaide.
Yes.
Go to Canberra.
Yes.
Go to wherever you need to go in Australia and have a tryout. And get the guy with the most powerful leg and bring his ass back here.
Go find some
tell
guys.
Tell him you're going to pay him the NFL minimum, $375,000 or $455,000. Whatever the hell it is right now, you're going to pay him that.
$575,000.
Get your ass over here and let's do it.
Go find some young kid at a pub in Dublin who's drinking Guinnesses 3 at a time, and he played soccer maybe at a high level, and he's got a booming leg. Come on,
Nigel replacements is available.
Right? Yeah, come on.
He'll do it. 2019 is $495,000 maximum salary.
I don't know who was saying
Gruff.
Nigel Gruff. I can't remember who was saying it earlier in the week, but this will tell you what the state of kicking is like and how scared teams are to go out on the street and try to find it. I mean, like, Indy won't give up on Adam Vinatieri. Like, he might cost them their season. With how bad he's
they
been.
They like him.
And for some reason, like, he's still their guy?
Does that tell you about what's available
out there?
They love this guy.
Even the mayor is making fun of the Bears in the offense and the kicker. Did you hear that?
Who?
Lori Lightfoot.
Oh, she's making fun?
She even said, well, she's been a Bears season.
Hold on. She's been a Bears season ticket holder for 22 years.
I guess. And her, she was saying how her mom loves football.
Fix the potholes.
Yeah, fix the potholes.
That's
I agree.
That's what you did. But she said,
hey, find an offense in Pinheiro. Let's go.
Get your leg back.
Yeah, get the leg back, she said. She's right.
She said, I may not even force my 91-year-old mother to watch the game on Thanksgiving.
Now, go fix the potholes.
They spent gazillions of dollars on the riverfront. But I tell you, you can't drive through the city without getting a flat tire.
I know. It's bad.
Chris Tabor, I do not call them extra points. They are extra field goals. Whatever that means.
Well, because it's 30 crazy.
That's fine. I get it.
Thanks, Tabor.
It's not a chip shot anymore.
Are they worth 3 points or are they worth 1 point? So let's call them what they are. It's an extra point after a touchdown. Wise ass.
You know what's crazy about Pinheiro? Like, 50 plus, you almost feel good. 40 to 49, he's terrible.
Yeah. Right.
You got to make those kicks in this league, man.
That does not make me feel good.
Right? And he's terrible in that. Like, that's his no-go zone, 40 to 49.
When you can't go to the guy three times, you got a chance, you don't go to him once.
I know.
Because you know the odds are he's going to miss the damn thing. It's not a good feeling.
Terrible.
What are you going to do? Of course, you can't score touchdowns either. You're terrible. You're terrible.
Terrible. You realize they lead the NFL in drop passes?
Yes, I know.
Yeah, that's what we heard.
I know.
It's a joke.
Drop passes.
With all the passes that Nelson Agholor dropped, I'm surprised anybody outside of Philly could lead that
category. Here's your dilemma, though. You never know where the hell the ball's going to be. If you're a receiver, you're almost shocked that it's coming down somewhere near your hands.
Like, I went back and watched the tape yesterday. Like, he hits Taylor Gabriel on, I think, 3rd and 9, maybe. 2nd and 9. Right on the left sideline with a beautiful throw. Right here. Right through his hands.
Yeah.
Then 3rd down, they're like at the 21. He hits Allen Robinson 1st down. Right here. Yeah. Drops it.
His first drop of the year,
and then he misses on the deep shot because he underthrows it.
His first drop of the year.
Allen Robinson, first drop of the year.
He's the one guy that hasn't been dropping the ball. Yeah, the Charger game, didn't Montgomery and Cone both have big drops? I think they did, didn't they?
Yeah, and then in the Philly game, they hit David Montgomery on
the screen pass. What it was, yeah.
That was going to go for the like Philly 30 game. Yards, and he dropped it.
It's like,
come on, man.
When Charger game was Cone. That was Cone. When it rains, it pours, right? Isn't that what they say?
Crazy. Yeah,
that's just it.
And then the next three passes look awful.
I know.
Unbelievable.
It's disappointing. And we were all so excited. We were all so juiced up for this season.
We were.
You know, I was drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm thinking, yeah, I know the defense is going to regress a little. I get it. That's fine.
It's a legitimate shot to go to 6-6, guys.
Well, but at this point, though, Yerk, I mean, what does it matter?
Corey Crawford will get the start tonight between the Pirates.
Corey Crawford. All right, let's go Crow.
There you go.
And who they got? Tampa?
Tampa Bay.
Tampa hasn't played a ton of games.
No?
I don't know if you checked that out.
I have not.
They're about 3 less than the Chicago Blackhawks.
Hmm.
I was shocked. At one point, it was 17. They might be up to 18 or 19.
Boy, the Hawks look terrible against Carolina.
Oof. The Lightning are 9-7-2
18 games. Yeah. There you go.
The Chicago Blackhawks have played 21 games.
Yeah, got three in hand. They got three in hand.
They are 9-8-4.
Well, let's hope they play better because the first two periods on Tuesday were awful.
The first 50 minutes.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Carolina's a good team, though, man.
Somebody finally woke them up a little bit. And that every loose puck battle was lost in the first two periods. Every single one. I mean, it was like, geez, they're on us. Can't get off of them. The hell's going on out here? Can't win a puck battle. What happens if you can't win a puck battle?
You don't have possession. You don't have possession.
How do you score? Can you score without the puck in hockey?
You cannot score without the puck in hockey. In hockey.
You've got to have the puck, guys.
Possession, really? You can't?
No. That's right. Possession is very important.
It's one of those basics they put up on the board
early. Didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah. Possession is important.
Fenwick numbers? Corsi numbers?
Fenwick and Corsi numbers.
Is that what we have?
Yes.
Gives you an idea of how numbers.
The Fenwick Fryer numbers. Gives you an idea in the Lee Corso numbers. One of those Corsi.
Chicago,
sorry.
2 points out of a playoff spot right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. You don't want to get too far behind, you know? I mean, we know how tough that is then.
There you go.
So
St. Louis, 31, leads the way. Chicago in 10th at 22 points.
Mm-hmm. Good for them.
Got some ground to make up, boys. Let's go. Get it done. Get her done.
I mean, when
get
they won done. Five of six games, they barely moved. They barely moved.
That's what I'm saying.
They barely moved.
You can't bury yourself.
I saw Pierre LeBrun ask for it, and it's one improvement I think they could make in hockey. A regulation victory worth three.
Yes. You've talked about that forever.
A long time forever. I saw Pierre LeBrun throw it out there, and I was just like this. Thank you very kindly.
Yep.
Been talking about it forever.
Because that's how it is in soccer, right?
In
Europe?
Yeah. But overtime victory worth two in hockey.
Yeah.
And then that way you're at least playing for something right toward the end instead of playing for the tie.
Exactly.
You're playing for a regular time victory worth 3 points. I think it's something substantial.
Washington, 36 points, 16-4.
Yeah, Washington's played great.
Crazy good.
Caps have played really, really well.
Look at their road record.
Yeah.
You want to talk about how good they are? Look at their road record.
Washington away is 10-2-1.
That's pretty good. Yeah, they've been really good.
That's damn near impressive.
6-2-3 at home. Who are the two worst teams in hockey by points?
Oh, boy, the two worst
teams. One East and one West. They're tied.
The two worst right now, I'm going to say, is Vancouver down near the bottom?
Nope. Vancouver is actually a playoff team.
Okay.
Right? They're eighth.
Who's down at the bottom right now in the West? Arizona's actually played pretty well.
Yep.
Detroit, the Kings, right? The Kings have been bad.
Kings are dead last
Kings
in the
have been
West.
Terrible.
1 point worse than Minnesota.
And then...
In the East, we'll go with the Islanders.
The East? No, the Islanders are the second best team.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah, Barry Trotz is good.
They are 15-3-1,
I haven't watched the Devils at all this year. How have they played?
They're 15th.
All right,
the 16th team would be the Detroit
the
Red
Wings.
Wings.
There you go. Yeah.
They also have 17 points.
So Wings and Kings.
Wings and Kings.
They've been bad.
Toronto fired one night in Babcock.
Yes, Mike Babcock is out.
So what do you think?
I think Mike Babcock is extremely overrated.
I think Chelios hates Babcock.
I think a lot of players would not want him here. No.
Let's get Chelios on today to talk about Babcock.
I think a lot of players, including the great Chris Chelios, hate Mike Babcock.
How about Mike Commodore? Did you see some of his comments on Twitter?
I did not.
At Mike Commodore, the former defenseman.
C-O-M-I-T-O-R?
Who?
No, it's Commodore.
No, Commodore, like the Commodores.
C-O-M-M, right, like the Commodores.
Yeah, like the Commodores. You look up what he had to say. And there's not a lot of kindness.
No, I've heard a lot of
going toward Mike Babcock.
He's kind of like Mustache, Mike Keenan. You know, like nobody can stand him, and I think he's very overrated. I'll be honest with you.
He wrote, "Sheiky baby, I am happy. F the Babcock."
I'm telling you, there's not a lot of love lost, boys.
Here's another one.
You know,
folks, and this guy is a cup winner. Folks, I will be honest. I had a nice quiet evening planned tonight, but circumstances have changed. Tonight is a night for celebration, celebrating the demise of Mike Babcock.
Wow, yeah.
I'm going to get in one.
There you go. See? And you could tell with all the talent they have. Granted, they've been a little bit banged up early in the year in Toronto. They haven't all been healthy. But when you got that amount of talent and you're underperforming and you go one and done 3 straight years in the playoffs – in Toronto,
I mean, this stuff is unbelievable.
You're on a short leash.
Oh, that's why I brought it up.
Folks, enough said. Pack your blank, Babs, you arrogant piece of blank. You are a failure.
Yeah.
Then the next one. Hey, Mike Babcock, simply put, your players quit on you. They quit on you because you're a terrible human being. You are an average coach with an extremely oversized ego. You finally got exactly what you deserve, you selfish blank. The hockey world is ecstatic. 13,000 likes.
But how do you really feel, Mike? That's the question.
He'll get a job.
Everybody always says he's a Tom Waddle's doppelganger. Mike Babcock is Tom Waddle's doppelganger.
Jeez.
You ever see the striking resemblance?
Say it again.
Tom Waddle and Mike Babcock are doppelgangers.
I think Waddle's much more handsome.
I do, too.
Yeah. He's not as thick. Waddle's slightly built.
Yeah.
He's not even remote. You know, Babcock's just...
Commodore has started a hashtag that's actually taken off. F Babs.
Hope he's not talking about Barbra Streisand.
Wow. That is unbelievable. So, anyway, big breaking news today is the White Sox have gotten a really good player for $73 million. That would be Yasmani Grandal is the new catcher. Yurko, we need your keys to a successful baseball team.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. Besides the Cubans.
You got to have a Cuban.
What were the other keys, Yurko?
Oh, God, I've got to go back and remember that.
The White Sox now have four Cubans, Yurko.
Right,
and the Cubs have zero.
You have to have a couple lefty starters,
okay.
I think. A couple lefty starters have to have a Cuban.
What else was
it? Switch hitter. You got to have a switch hitter on your team.
He's making them up as he goes.
No, multiple switch hitters. I'm trying to remember. Got to have switch hitters.
Well, Grandal's a switch hitter.
Well, let me tell you what it does. It causes problems for the opposing pitching staff.
It does.
And with the rule, it'll become less important if they ever go to the relievers, got to face three guys.
Yes, it will be.
Then the switch hitter thing just kind of
dissipates. That rule's this season.
Well, they're talking about
it. They're talking about it.
Yeah, they haven't implemented it yet.
And I think Jesse was saying it's probably going to be in for 2021, right?
Oh, right.
I don't think so. I think 2021. I don't know. We'll double check on that. But it's not going to be as important when that happens. That's true. Merck, throw in a call to Passan, see if he wants to come on today.
Passan, I want to talk to Chelios about this Babcock to see what the Hawks get rid of Colleton. Are they going to come with Babcock?
We tried to get Chelios once to break bad on him.
Who?
On Babcock, and he wouldn't. He took the high road.
He was also still working for the Detroit Red Wings at the time, and I think Babcock was still there. You remember that? He was working in Grand Rapids.
Maybe you're right.
Or Kalamazoo with the K-Wings.
Grand Rapids.
Maybe I'll see him at the game tonight.
Maybe. Ask him about Babcock.
That's my point.
Merck, is Passan already going out with Waddle and Sylvie? Let's get that. We got to get your brother, somebody. Let's talk a little White Sox big signing. Come on.
Let's get to Chucky on.
Who's Chucky?
Garfine.
Garfine.
Oh, God, I love Garfine. Yeah.
Well, what the hell? What do I got to tell you about this
guy? All over this stuff.
Boy, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, let's get him on.
Should talk a little White Sox.
Why wouldn't we?
Hey, nationally, this is being received very well. The Sox are getting high marks from like Heyman and Passan and a lot of
others. Let's get the hesitant one, Rick Hahn, on.
He won't come on, I don't think.
Let's get
him
on.
He may join us tomorrow.
It doesn't make a difference. Make a request for him. Who cares?
I think I may have him tomorrow.
Let's get Kenny Williams on, the non-decision maker.
He's definitely not coming on.
Let's give the non-decision maker
on. See if his sunglasses are on to hide the shock in his eyes.
Well, you can take them off and be proud for today, I'll tell you that.
That's right. If you're a White Sox fan, you're walking around the city with your chest out.
Yeah, I think
I saw two of them walk by earlier today.
It's funny because normally most things like this, you expect to get something like a 50-50 or 60-40 split on Twitter. A quick perusal in the last hour or
so. It's like 90%.
Yeah, it's like 90% of the people are really positive and feel good about the signing. Now, sometimes that comes back to bite you. We know how free agency can be, but... I think it's good. I really do think it's a good signing. A couple
Whether
things that concern me.
Whether it works or not, it was well thought out, well executed.
Yes.
I think.
Now you need a pitcher.
Zach Wheeler, I think they're in play for.
Grandal make your pitchers that much better?
He's the best pitch framer in the game.
Does he make your pitching staff that much better? Or do we still need better pitching?
I think you need another pitcher.
Now, he might help Giolito take the next step, but didn't you have an all-star at the catching position?
Yeah, he's not a good pitch framer, though, and you did. He really regressed in the second half.
Okay, but he was an all-star.
He was. Yes.
Yeah, he was.
But Grandal can also DH. He can play a little first.
Do you move the guy then, or did he only have 1 year deal?
No, McCann's on. He had a 2 year deal. McCann will be here. He's your backup catcher.
He's the backup.
Yes.
All right.
And Grandal
about 120 games?
Yeah, usually. He can play first. He can DH.
They could also put Zach Collins behind the plate as a backup and trade James McCann, too.
Maybe. I don't know how much. Yeah, maybe. Especially if he has a good first half like he did last year. McCann did have a nice year, but, you know, there's probably some regression that's coming. And like I said, we saw some in the second half. So I think the Grandal signing is good. I really do. You might not need pitch framing in 2 years. Cap and I talked about that earlier. One of his great attributes, one of his great strengths might not matter 2 years from now because it sounds like they're going to go to an automated strike zone. But you deal with that when it happens. For now, this year, for next year, he is probably the game's most elite pitch framer, which helps. I mean, the analytics tell you it does help.
So. All right, I'm out of your guys' way.
All righty.
JD, Shefty coming up on their show. You guys have a wonderful rest
of
your day.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
All right. Carmen Yerk are next. I will see you in the morning. Pat Boyle joins us, the Philly Godfather, and a whole lot more. See ya.
White Sox!
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
Go, 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 White Sox!
We're so used to the big free agent signing in February. The number one catching free agent is off the board, and it's not even Thanksgiving. Granted, Thanksgiving's a little late this year, a week from today.
Are we signing up for tickets? Are we getting the Aussie plan?
Nah, not yet.
13 games, Carm. We'll split them, you and me.
I don't think they do an Aussie plan anymore.
We'll do a 6 and a 7. Sure they do. Aussie's a great player.
Oh, I know.
That's like saying they don't do an Ellie Fox plan. Why wouldn't they?
Do they?
If they had it just because he went away, they don't do one anymore? Come on, Carm.
I don't know.
Come on, stay with it, man. Ozzy, is this big enough?
Didn't Nelly Fox wear two?
I don't know, but they're two games. Why not? Two games each month.
Could still be a plan.
Maybe that's the plan. Two games each month. The Ozzy, the Nelly Fox plan.
Pretty sure Nelly Fox was two.
I believe he was two. Yeah, two games a month. I mean, what, two games a month. That's what I just said. You're not listening to me. Carm, I want to take it upon myself.
Monty Grandal is a White Sox.
Yes,
all right, way to go. The White Sox jump in 73 schmil over
headlines.
4 years.
That's good. It's a little over $18 million, Carm. So congratulations go out to the White Sox. Before we go any further, we got high school football this weekend. It's the semifinals.
State semis.
You and I have been watching the Nazareth Academy to see how that quarterback's going to be doing.
J.J. McCarthy.
He's heading up to Michigan. Not this year.
Yeah.
After his senior season next year, he'll end up going to Michigan.
A junior.
He's only a junior.
And he's already committed to Michigan.
All right. 8A playoffs, semifinals.
The big boys.
Lincoln Way East against Marist, two Southside schools.
I love that.
Going to make it happen. Brother Rice goes up against Warren Township.
Okay.
Brother Rice and Marist might be 3 miles from each other.
They might be.
Believe it or not.
And they could meet in the state final?
They could meet in the state final. Class 7A. I spoke there at the Father Son Banquet a little bit earlier this year.
Mount Carmel.
The caravan of Mount Carmel going up against Willowbrook.
Okay.
Willowbrook hasn't been good since Mark Nigro got out of there and Mikey Boyland.
I don't even remember those guys.
Two solid players. One played at Notre Dame. The other played at Eastern Illinois. There and the other side of the bracket, Nazareth Academy against Rolling Meadows.
There you go.
So that's your Nazareth Academy.
Jimmy G's alma mater, I think, right? Is he a prospect guy?
I think he was a Rolling Meadows guy.
He was one of the two.
I believe 100%. The 6A Deerfield Prairie Ridge. And then East St. Louis against Glenwood. And the last team with any kind of local interest in 5A will be St. Rita taking on Boylan Catholic.
The Catholic is well represented, the Catholic League.
Good luck to all those schools out there. Good luck to all the individuals. Be safe. Stay healthy.
Good luck, boys.
And hopefully we got some good competitive football this weekend in the Chicagoland area.
And then next weekend, always the weekend of Thanksgiving.
That's
right. They'll have the finals for football. That's very good. JD's going to join us in a few moments. Merck, let me know when JD's ready to rock and roll. Also, Adam Schefter, 1 hour from now. And I think we're going to try to talk to Chuck Garfine about the White Sox news of the day. I know Jeff Passan's going to be on with Waddle and Sylvie a little bit later today. But the White Sox announced on Twitter about an hour and a half ago that they strike first and that it was between the Sox and the Reds, and Grandal picked the White Sox. And I think it's a pretty good signing. The two things that concern me are his age. He's just turned 31. And for a guy that plays a lot, I mean, he catches 1,000 innings every year. For a guy that plays a lot, that does start to become a concern. And the other thing that scares me is that his greatest attribute as a catcher, you know, if you look at the defensive metrics, he's not great, but he's probably the game's best pitch framer. And he has been for a couple of years.
Well, if he can steal 12 strikes a game, aren't you jumping for joy?
Absolutely. What scares me is that 2 years from now, halfway through his contract, it might not be necessary, because it sure sounds like they're going to an automated strike zone. So pitch framing and stealing pitches, strikes, excuse me, for your pitcher might not be necessary halfway through the contract. But all said and done, I think it's a pretty good deal. Like, he should hit 25 home runs. He should be on base at about a 350 clip. I mean,
you're jumping for joy. You're jumping for joy.
I think it's good.
The South Side should be celebrating.
We always get worked up over free agents because it shows that your team is serious. And this is the most they've ever spent on a free agent.
Do you think they're having a pitch framing party at Buffalo Wings and Rings and things?
I think they are.
34th and Halstead?
I do think that. I think Justin and the guys and Fran are getting ready for
34 South Halstead.
Guys, let us know if you want to come down and do a pitch framing seminar
at
Wings and Rings.
This is an idea for them. And listen, you can use it for free. I won't charge a thing. How about chicken wings served in that of like a frame? Like a strike zone.
That's not bad.
You serve them in that of a frame and call it the Grandal.
Like a special off-season special, Yerk?
Whoa, you all right? We almost had a major accident out front here.
Okay.
Somebody tripped and almost fell.
She's all right.
Bit the dust. Those choppers would have been gone, but that's besides the point. In a 24 wings in like a frame, a rectangular tray, and we call it the Grand Doll.
What about 73 wings for the table since he signed for $73 million, you know, and you do it in a big frame?
That's a big one, though, man.
Hey, Fran, this is a little free marketing from your friends Carmen and Yurko.
You a paddle guy?
No, you know me. I like the drum. Yeah.
I'm a paddle guy. We'd be a perfect compliment.
A Buffalo Wings and Rings special for the offseason. Because Monty Grandal, where they serve
it. I think it's perfect.
They serve it.
Anybody can steal it. You guys are all welcome to it. I've got no problems.
I like that, Yurko.
I'm an idea man.
The Noon Hour, you are, is brought to you by NBC Sports Chicago. The Bulls finally put together a complete game last night. They beat the Pistons. They're not a very good team, the Pistons, but the Bulls won easily. Remember, NBC Sports Chicago is your only home for the Bulls this season. And the Blackhawks, and they play against the Lightning tonight. So if you want to talk White Sox, do you like the signing? Do you think it's a step in the right direction by the Sox? I know we have a tendency to overreact to free agency. I totally get it. I'm with you, right? I mean, I'm well aware, and a lot of times it's fool's gold. I think this is a good signing by the Sox, so let us know your thoughts. 312-332-3776. We'll take phone calls on the Sox, the Bears, as they move forward here throughout the course of the week as they get ready for the Giants. Let's get a Bears update right now. We go up to Hallis, and our buddy Jeff Dickerson is with us. He is at Dickerson ESPN on Twitter, and he's brought to you by the Sportsbook at Ameristar Casino Hotel East Chicago, now open and accepting bets. And, J.D., I don't know, were you surprised at all that Mitch was a full participant, or did you know that that was going to happen yesterday?
No, I think it was a little bit of a surprise that he was a full participant. I think we kind of got the vibe, you know, very early on with Matt Nagy in the press conference yesterday, guys, that they were going to keep going forward with Trubisky and that he was going to be their quarterback and he was going to play if healthy. You know, yesterday was a little more of a lighter type Wednesday because they had the late Sunday night game and the cross-country flight back from Los Angeles. Today's practice, which begins probably in about, 15 minutes from now, will be a little more rigorous. So we'll see what he's going to do, but every indication is that he's going to start on Sunday. And even Trubisky's demeanor yesterday, guys, compared to how he sounded in the bowels of the old Coliseum on Sunday night, I mean, honestly, watching Mitch on Sunday, the impression that at least I took away is that he thought that the rest of the year for him was in real jeopardy. Hmm. That's how down he was. Yesterday, I think after being reassured that he's still the guy, he's going to play moving forward, you could tell the energy from him was a lot different. The hip was also feeling better. So again, barring something really unforeseen, he's going to be the guy against the Giants.
Well, this is one of the handful of opponents, I think you'd say, if you're looking at your schedule, you take the Giants if you need to feel good about yourself. I mean, the Giants have lost six in a row. They're allowing 32 points per game, 32 points per game during their losing streak. They've got one of the five or six worst defensive DVOAs in all of football here in 2019. So if you want to feel good about yourself, play the Giants, right, J.D.?
I still think the Bears defense has to win the game, Carm, on Sunday. I know that sounds terrible, but you can tell me all about the points that other teams are giving up. That doesn't change the fact that the Bears really can't score any points.
So could what happened Sunday night happen again this Sunday? Where?
Of course it can. What? Where's the evidence to say that the offense is about to turn the corner here? Now, Matt Nagy has gone to great lengths because I just feel like he has to do this of trying to pump up Trubisky's last two games. Guys, come on. Let's be real here. Three touchdowns against Detroit. Those three touchdown throws were fine. But this was a 7-6 game at half. And in the fourth quarter, when they were trying to put the Lions away, they couldn't do it. And the Lions had a chance there at the end to tie the game, and Jeff Driscoll throws the ball over the line, and the game is over. But I would say of the four quarters that Mitch played against Detroit, I wouldn't say all four quarters were great. And then Sunday night, the touchdown pass to Tariq Cohen was fine, and there were some good throws he grooved in there. But can you guys honestly say that the overall body of work was spectacular by the quarterback?
No, not at all.
In a game you lose against a Rams team that, quite frankly, looked like they were flagging out there. I mean, the Rams. I don't believe the Rams are going
to
be in this.
They tried to hand the game to the Bears. Let's face it.
They tried to, and the Bears couldn't do it. So, what I'm saying is, okay, the comments aside, because those these are things that you just have to say publicly to support your quarterback, I have nothing to go on and be like, there's going to be this offensive explosion against New York on Sunday. Maybe it happens. Maybe it does. It is a winnable game. It's a game they should find a way to win, primarily because of their defense, but the Bears have found very unique ways to lose games this year, too. Now, they took the field goal kicker to Soldier Field yesterday. Chris Tabor told us that Eddie Pinheiro made 21 of 23.
That's
great, but he's missed four of his last seven in live game action. So, I mean, the Bears are going to have to put together a good performance, even to beat a really bad Giants team. And offensively, I don't see the signs that say that's necessarily going to happen this weekend.
I mean, you think he could get pulled from the game again?
Mitch?
Yeah.
Oof.
If that I mean, hip re-aggravates, sure.
Yeah,
yes.
Sure. Yeah. Sure, it's possible. I don't think that's the plan going in. But here's the deal, too. I mean, he should play well on Sunday, right?
Right.
You said the numbers, Carm.
Yep.
He should play well. They've got the Lions on Thanksgiving. That's going to be a tricky game. But after those two games, where are the other winnable games left on the schedule? Let's look at it. I mean, Dallas is going to be a tough game.
Yeah, tough game,
even
absolutely.
Though it's in Chicago.
Yeah.
You've got the Vikings on the road, the Packers on the road. You've got the Chiefs at home. Am I forgetting anyone else? No, I think that's it, right? That's the end of the schedule with the Vikings in Week 17.
Vikings in Week 17, that's right, yep.
Right. Now, after these two games, these are challenging games coming
absolutely.
Up. He really needs to play four great quarters against the Giants and, you know, maybe not four great against the Lions because that's on the road. It's a bit of a tricky deal there on that Thursday. You know, Thanksgiving's always kind of weird. The Lions play pretty well at Ford Field against the Bears. But, I mean, he needs to have a good game and for the Bears to win. If he doesn't show it in the next 2 weeks, what are we all expecting in the final four games? Think about that. When the competition gets a lot tougher, and we know that based on this year, when the competition gets tougher, the quarterback's performance dips way, way down.
JD, I don't know what we're to expect. I'm hoping to expect and see the light go on. The light is not going on here. If somebody wants to say the Tampa game last year is where a light went on, that's fine and dandy. But it may have gone. It was on for one day and it was off. It was like a short. It's like the Christmas lights in Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase. Okay, they're on, they're off, they're on, they're off. This was on for one game and then it was off. I'm waiting for that light to go on, and that's the only thing I can hope for is finally that light goes on and it stays on.
And the only thing, and Yurko, just like the Griswolds, the Bears will get a $30 million electricity bill for having the lights on because that's what Mitch's rookie contract is costing overall as the second overall pick. I hope so, Yurk. I really do. I mean, it's the best thing for this franchise if he plays better. But if he doesn't, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. See, this is how I look back on it. I felt like at the time you could have IR'd him after the Saints game. You know, you had enough there to say the shoulder's hurt. He needs a procedure at some point. This is only going to get worse. You could have said he came off the bye. He wasn't healthy. We tried to have him run the offense the way that we need the offense run when he threw the ball 50 times against New Orleans, and it was just a disaster. It was a catastrophe. They could have done it then. They chose not to, and they're persevering, and they're pushing through. But I hope that for their sake, they're rewarded, because if he continues to go down and the season just, you know, has already gone up in smoke but gets even worse and worse, then there was a chance to salvage this. But I think that window is closed. There's no salvaging this anymore. Maybe Chase Daniel does it. Maybe he doesn't. But you'll never know because that's the move the Bears just chose not to make.
Is there a point where you make a decision on Akeem Hicks where even if you're 6-6 and you're going into it, you say, you know what, let's just get this guy rested for this whole year. Let this thing recover in the offseason. And if there's nothing to play for, what the hell are we playing him for?
Yurko, I agree with that statement 100%. You would bring him back if you are making the playoffs. They're not making the playoffs. Even if they somehow win out, I don't think 10-6 gets you in.
Yeah, it probably doesn't.
And that's second wild card.
So crazy.
I would just say, Akeem, just, okay, we're done here. You're going to come back. You're going to be 100% in April. we got to do a lot of rethinking some things this offseason. You're obviously a huge part of this. You're a great player. You've earned your money. Just, you know, let's not worry about it and come back next year. I would say they're probably already at that point, but at 4-6, you can always keep the illusion up that, you know, the season is still competitive and you haven't mathematically been bounced yet. So I don't think they're at that point quite yet, but I would say, Yurk, unless something really changes, that's got to be the route they go with Akeem Hicks.
All right, JD, anything else we should know?
Still no tight end. I wish I had more news for you guys on that. you know, Shaheen did not practice yesterday again with his foot injury. They signed Jesper Horsted off the practice squad to the active roster. I like him because he also played baseball in college at Princeton, who's a great athlete.
They got the smartest group of tight ends in the league, I'll tell you that much.
It's funny. I mean, and our good buddy John Greenberg asked me this question, you know, why do they keep mining for tight ends at Princeton, Harvard, and Ashland? And my response is, I don't have such a big problem with the Harvard and the Princeton, but I think in the future, guys, you might want to exclude Division II players being second-round picks. Just a thought. Just a thought. But perhaps the Ashland colleges of the world are no longer on the recruiting trail. That's just me. That's
probably
just
a good idea. Yeah. All right, JD, we will talk to you next week. Thanks, buddy.
Always a pleasure, boys. Can't wait for Bears-Giants. That is going to be a barn burner, boys, along the lakefront. Can't wait. We'll talk then.
Hey, and congratulations. Didn't Parker Stevenson, Dickerson, get himself a championship?
How'd they do over the Super Bowl?
They had their Super Bowl.
They won the Super Bowl in their division of the PCYFL.
Beautiful.
Super Bowl trophy was huge. And then they got their individual trophies last night, and they are nice trophies.
That's great.
It's a big deal. They won two playoff games in overtime.
Wow.
So they really beat some great teams along the way. They finished the year 10-1. And they're champions.
Battle
way
tested.
To go, Libertyville.
I
that
love
awesome.
It. Good job, Libertyville. Nice.
I saw the tweet. I figured I'd give him a chance to crow a little
Thank
bit.
Thank you, Yurk. Well, we're such good friends. You always look
You're
out
welcome.
For me. And I'll tell you this, though. His blue hair is getting cut off today.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah. You know what a big fan of Parker Stevenson I am.
All right.
Yeah, we're done with the hair coloring. That's going to be on hold now for a while. We're going back to the natural sandy blonde hair.
Good idea.
The hair coloring's over.
Good idea. All right, JD. Thanks, buddy.
Bye, boys.
See ya. That's Jeff Dickerson at Dickerson ESPN on Twitter. Yeah, the noon games this week, like Bears, Giants, all of them. Bengals, Steelers, like a lot of poo-poo.
It's not a sexy. Not a sexy.
It's good.
A sexy noon.
The late afternoon, the primetime games are good. You know, like the late afternoon game in Foxborough is good, right? Cowboys,
right.
Pats should be good.
Yeah.
Sunday night football, they flex the Packers and Niners. That should be good. The Monday night game should be good, but the noon slate is like, ugh.
Packers, Niners, that's going to be a Sunday beauty, kid.
I think that... Could be a really good game.
I called it, I do a radio show up in Milwaukee. I said that this could be a preview of the NFC Championship
could
game.
Be.
But a scary team still beating the Cowboys in the back.
Yeah.
That's a scary team with that offensive line.
We will take some White Sox calls coming up next. Big news today, the White Sox strike first in free agency. They sign Yasmani Grandal to a four-year deal. 312-332-3776 is the number. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Can't miss radio with Barstool Big Cat at 4 o'clock. JD with the latest on Mitch's health and last night's Bulls game against D-Rose.
We get started at 2. Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Crosstalk about an hour and 10 minutes from now. At 105, Chuck Garfine from NBC Sports Chicago will talk White Sox baseball with us. Adam Schefter at 1:30, the latest on Myles Garrett. These new accusations as to what maybe precipitated the swinging of the helmet, connecting with Mason Rudolph last Thursday night. Big AFC South battle tonight. Huge game to start week 12, so we got a lot to talk about with Adam Schefter. Let's grab some White Sox calls. Let's go to Brian and Flossmore on the South Side on ESPN 1000. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. I really like the Grandal signing today, and I think it'll be really instrumental in helping some of their younger catchers kind of continue to develop. But I was really just wondering what you guys think happens to James McCann now. Does he maybe become a trade piece, maybe a minor one, but a trade piece nonetheless?
Yeah, I think that's possible because Zach Collins, they're probably going to want him to play a little bit.
Sure.
If James McCann has a first half like he did last year, maybe that's something that they explore going into the trade deadline. Maybe it depends on where they are in the standings, too. I don't know. I mean, all that stuff will play. You need a backup catcher anyway. James McCann might be a very, very good one for you next year.
Somebody's got to catch 40-some-odd games
exactly.
for you. Somebody has to be able to come in the 11th hour, do something for you.
Yeah.
Pinch hit. somebody's going to have to maybe pinch run one time. Not that you'd be looking at McCann to pinch run, but you never know what situation you're in.
I mean,
find
at least 40 games.
Yes.
You know, in this day and age.
Yes.
So I think that's a very good point. And he had a nice year last year, but I think it's great that they upgraded the position. Tom's on the Northwest side on ESPN 1000. Hey, Tom.
Hi, fellas. Just want to let you know that the way that McCann played in the first half of last year, and he's a lot, friendlier as far as salary, I think we're making a big mistake because, like you say, with the 2 years that we're going to go to the automatic strike zone, big mistake. I'm telling you, they're looking just to throw money around, to say, hey, look, we got this trade. And
Free agent signing.
I don't think it's going to turn out well at all.
All right. I hope that's not the case, Tom. I'd be a little bit more optimistic.
It's not like the White Sox are up against $217 million. The White Sox got money that they can go ahead and spend. Okay, Carm said he's the best pitch framer there is. That's a value. You've got things there. If he could turn 12 balls into 12 strikes every single time he's behind the plate, who's that going to help? Giolito, right?
Sure.
Who's your guy coming back?
Kopech.
One night in Kopech. I love Kopech. He's coming back. Who's the guy that struggled a little bit with balls and strikes? Boom. Does he help Lopez maybe steal a few here or there? That's all you're looking for. That's all I'm looking for. And for a team that isn't even remotely close to $200 million, thank heavens they identified their guy. They got their man.
I'll give you a couple other stats just about Grandal as an offensive player. Now, you always start to worry about the age curve, obviously. He just turned 31. And does bat speed slow down and all that? But everybody's hitting home runs these days. I get it. You still take 25 home runs a year out of your catcher. You love that. Since 2015, Yerk, so the last five seasons, Yasmani Grandal has almost 100 more walks than any other catcher in baseball. Almost 100 more. He gets on base a lot. He's like a 350 on base guy for his career. He has, since 2015, the fifth best OPS plus of all qualified catchers in Major League Baseball.
Do you know why he has that? Because he doesn't catch himself. It's impossible. Because if he was catching himself, he'd be taking balls and turning them into strikes.
That's pretty funny.
That's what I'm here for.
So there are some good offensive things about Grandal for sure. Jim's in Downers on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jim.
Hey, for the Bears, I wonder, why don't they start Pinero when he's doing his warm-ups with a snapper and a holder? Because I've been to games, I go to all the home games, and he's either too close that he wants to hook it or he reaches for it. I think they would benefit from not just the tee, but warming him up pregame with the snapper. What do you think of that?
Yerk, how does that normally work? Thanks, Jim. Does the kicker usually go out with the long snapper and the holder when he's practicing before a game, or does he just kick off the tee to get his distance?
No. He's with them. You saw the videos that you have pregame,
right?
Where they show you where he'd be good from.
He goes with the guys.
Right? Yeah,
that's what I thought.
Get out there at about, for noon games, you always got out there at about 11, noon game is 10:50. 10:55, and then the punter would be with the center, long snapper, and he'd switch. Like our long snapper was our short snapper. Mm-hmm. When he'd go with the punter, I'd be doing all the short snaps. When he'd come back, we had another backup long snapper. So we had three snappers out there all getting time in to get everything in there.
All right,
the kicker's there doing it live with his guy.
We got a Lightning fan outside. He must be going
that?
To the game tonight.
Yeah,
he's
definitely
got a Stamkos jersey on.
Is it?
I'm guessing 91 with a C.
Who's the big goofy defenseman, number 77?
It's Victor Hedman.
That's it.
Yeah, he's great.
He's a good player.
Yeah, he's great.
Good player. Goofy-looking bastard. But a good player nonetheless.
I've seen a game in Tampa. Believe it or not, they got a good hockey crowd.
I remember the series where we beat them in the Stanley Cup. Very satiating.
Yes, it was satiating.
Very satisfying. But you guys enjoyed the city, okay?
I was stunned at the atmosphere in Tampa for a hockey game.
It was
actually fun. 312-332-3776. Thoughts on the White Sox signing. Bears thoughts, issues going forward. Yurko brought up a good point about Akeem Hicks when JD was on. Chuck Garfine joins us at 105. Adam Schefter on a lot happening in the NFL at 1:30. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN Chicago.
Boy, nice warm day. It's just cloudy and gray.
Free basing. Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Free falling, baby.
Name the movie this song was played in prominently.
It's a key scene.
I'm thinking this
Chris,
song.
Do you know? It's probably before your time,
Let me
Chris.
Guess. Caddyshack.
No, it's not Caddyshack.
When was this song released? Late 80s, early 90s?
Yeah, what's the genre?
It was kind of like a drama slash comedy, I would say.
Coming of age movie?
A drama?
Was it one of those or no?
It's a no, not a coming, but it's a.
Is it Jaws?
It's based on.
Is it Jaws? Oh, I know, The Exorcist.
Is it when Hans?
Is it Jaws?
Is it when Hans Gruber goes off the building and they got free falling in the background?
Yes. Now I have a machine gun. Ha ha ha. And I don't care what anybody says.
Danny Winch got it.
You try to argue with us that that's not a Christmas movie.
That's
you better
a Christmas
take it.
Movie.
You yeah. better. You better take it to the street, man. Because right Die Hard middle. Is a Christmas.
It is.
Movie.
We will shut down State Street. Okay, and have a pugilistic adventure right in the middle of
but
it.
But every year when we say it, people get upset and they call and they tweet. What are you talking about, dude? They're at a Christmas,
it's a Christmas
party.
Movie.
There's a dead guy dressed up as Santa Claus.
Santa
I mean,
Claus.
Like wrapped up in. I mean, come on,
in tinsel and lights.
Right, exactly. It is a Christmas movie.
The Nakatomi Building, man.
Just because you don't like violence doesn't mean that it's not a Christmas movie.
That's right.
Because it is. All right, Merck, what's the movie? I don't know.
Merkin.
It's right after Jerry Maguire. Signs Kush, and he's driving the car, lumbering, and he starts playing and he starts singing. He doesn't know all the words.
Yes, yes.
Right.
And the dad backs out of the deal. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Because my head shakes as good as oak or something. What is it? Something like that?
Because
my
words never, as good as oak. Yeah. He never strong signed a contract.
Yeah. Right.
Never signed a contract with him.
Right.
He got his word in a handshake
strong
deal.
Strong as oak. Yeah.
And then that's when he came in and he goes, let's get something down on paper.
Yes, right.
Because he found out that he was being, in his own office.
This is Kush.
He's being clipped at the knees.
Yes, exactly. Very good. Chuck Garfine's going to join us in a few minutes to talk about the White Sox news of the day. Adam Schefter will join us at 1:30. The latest, I'm going to get to Scott and couple other White Sox calls before we get to Chuck. And then Adam, like I said, at 1:30. The latest in the Miles Garrett fallout is that apparently, during his hearing with the NFL, he claimed that Mason Rudolph hurled a racial slur at him before the infamous attack. Now, Rudolph is vehemently denying the claim. His lawyers have already issued a statement calling it a flat-out lie. The lawyers issued a statement that reads, "This false allegation was never asserted by Garrett in the aftermath of the game, never suggested prior to the hearing, and conspicuously absent in the apology published by the Browns and adopted by Garrett. The malicious use of this wild and unfounded allegation is an assault on Mason's integrity, which is far worse than the physical assault witnessed on Thursday." That is the latest there. We'll talk to Adam Schefter about it in 28 minutes or so.
Okay.
Scott's in Wakanda on ESPN 1000. Hey, Scott.
Hey, fellas. I'm a Brewer fan, so this is, for one, the safest station to call into with you guys. But I just want to say I think it's a great signing for the White Sox. Switch hitting catcher, can DH for you, you know, great defensively. The only thing I'd have a concern with is the last 2 years he's played a lot of games.
Yes,
so,
I agree with you, Scott. Yeah.
But, yeah, still pumped to see him there and anything that we can do to help beat the Cubs in that crosstown.
Oh. Scotty, thank you. Appreciate it.
It's only 4 games, so it's kind of minimized.
Scott's right, though. He has played a lot. I mean, he catches a lot of games. He was apparently the Brewers were trying to re-sign him, but it just got to a point where they didn't want to go to the lengths that the White Sox went to. That's a nice change. 4 years, $73 million. It also sounds like the Reds were definitely in. Remember, he was originally drafted by the Reds. He was a hot prospect for a little while in the Reds system, and he was once traded out to San Diego where he got his career going. I don't think he ever played a game for the Reds, if I'm not mistaken. He was still traded as one of their better young prospects a decade ago. So those are the teams that were in. The White Sox end up winning the day, though, so very good. Let me know in the Chuck.
So Chuck just got Rick Hahn just called a press conference.
Oh,
so
my God!
We can
right now,
we can either do Chuck at 15 after or 45 after. What would you rather do?
We'll do like 45 after.
Okay,
we could do all that. Right.
Sounds good.
Okay. Well, and I think it's fantastic. It's a celebration on the South Side.
Yeah.
Good for the White Sox and the White Sox fans. I got a slew of White Sox fans down by me. You know, Big John Totes.
Yeah.
I got Joey Wargo, who shared season tickets with me. Bruce Dykstra, you know the Bruiser.
I know them all. I love Joey Wargo and Bruce.
All these guys are massive White Sox fans. So that's got to move the meter a little bit down there on the South Side for the Pale Hosts.
I'm telling
you.
And
their people.
Not too many people on Twitter are displeased with this. There's always going to be a few, but like I said earlier during Crosstalk, it's usually like 60-40, 70-30. I got a few guys saying, nope, Carm, you're wrong. This is going to be a disaster. He's too old. You know, it's not going to be valuable anymore to be a great pitch framer in a couple of years once they go to the automated strike zone. So there's a few dissenting voices. One guy said just bat. Where did that guy go? He said, nope, deal's terrible. But for the most part, Sox fans seem encouraged and positive by this. Now I'm going on to see if anybody's going to argue with us that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Jeff says, guys, I agree with you. Die Hard is absolutely a Christmas movie.
Yeah, there's no gray area there.
And then we always get the question about the Gremlins. Is that a Christmas movie? Yeah, I'd say it's kind of, but Die Hard definitely is. Remember, tomorrow, Yerk and I are out and about. It's a football Friday. We are wrapping the week in Yerko's neighborhood. Social 219 in the NWI or the region or the 219.
The 219.
As we like to call it.
I made famous. Me and Pitbull made that famous, the 219.
Mr. Worldwide, Mr. Yerko, 219.
That's right. NWI. That's the good kid,
the NWI. We are going to be at Social 219 with Bed Indiana and with Alpamonte Buick GMC and the folks at Truly Hard Seltzer. So come by and see us for a truly awesome football Friday, noon to 2 tomorrow.
Route 30 and Klein Avenue. Guys, head south and it'll be right there.
So should I go there like I normally go when I meet you at the rink to play hockey at St. John's, or is there a better way to go?
Yeah, just exit on Route 30 right by Atlantis.
Got it. Oh, yeah.
Gentlemen's Club.
I am aware.
And it'll curve you around, and you take it all the way to Klein Avenue, so you've got to go past the Crossroads of America, where Route 30 and US 41 intersect. Yeah. So, you know, that is the Crossroads of America. We're not messing around.
No, that's, yeah.
US 41 goes from Minnesota to Florida.
Right.
Route 30 goes from New York up to Oregon.
All the way to Oregon, yeah.
All the way to Oregon.
You cross the country.
Where do they intersect?
Right in Indiana.
Beautiful Schererville, Indiana, where you get twice the house with half the taxes.
That intersection's a nightmare, down, by the way, because it's just such a heavy intersection.
Oh, yeah,
heavy
it can
traffic.
Be. Yeah. It can be. T-Bulls, by the way, got some pretty nice perch there, too. But Social 219 very competes against
Yerko said the crowd's going to build early because they're opening at 9 a.m.
So
we're going to be there tomorrow, bright and early.
If it's raining at all the construction guys don't have to go to work if it's raining.
Yeah.
So they're going to be in there at 9 a.m. and they pound. They drink. They drink in the 219.
Well, I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
They don't play games, kid.
Come on, Yerk, is this before or after Horseshoe?
What does that
after.
Mean?
He thinks after. The Horseshoe. It's a different way, though, Merck.
Oh,
you're going.
Okay. It's further south.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
I mean, you're from the Horseshoe. You're about 12, 15 miles
south. Yeah, you still got a way.
So you're further south and you're further east of the Horseshoe. If that makes things a little bit easier for you,
yeah.
I'll plot it on a graph for you. And maybe
I got a ticket I got to cash still. And I
So here's what you do. You head over there, you stop by the Horseshoe, okay? You get back onto the tollway.
Right.
Okay? Jump back on the tollway, dump off at the Klein Avenue extension, roll back around, head on the Klein Avenue extension, head south, and then you're going to have to traverse yourself through Griffith and get to Schererville. So you're going to have to, it's a minefield in Griffith.
Yeah, I'll never
And there's
it.
A lot of railroad tracks, kid. A
okay.
lot of railroad okay. tracks. It'd be better for you to hit Horseshoe on the way back.
Maybe that's what I'll do.
A little bit easier. So, I mean, I give the great advice.
You do give good advice.
You know what they have at the Horseshoe?
Gambling.
Oh. You know what they have at Ameristar?
Gambling.
Yeah, they do.
What's the ticket you're cashing, Merck?
It's the Nationals.
Oh, you backed it up with another bet?
I did this before we even made our bet official. I gave it to Waddle.
What did you have?
$20 on 18-1.
20 at 18. It started the playoffs. We had it at better time at 25.
We had 25, yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. How about what we have the Cowboys at? Get the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl 35-1.
But I looked at the rest of the Bears' schedule, too, and of that final six games, I think it's the only one where the offensive line's better than our defensive line.
Yeah.
Every other one, it's either even or the Bears got an advantage on the defensive line. But that Cowboy one is going to prove to be somewhat difficult, especially if your offense, Carm, keeps going treeing out. That's no good.
Can the Cowboys hang with the Patriots in New England, or is the defense too good in New England? And, you know, like, you think the Cowboys will give them a game?
They'll game plan that defense.
I mean, Stephon Gilmore will be all over Amari Cooper, right? Or maybe Michael Gallup.
Kyle Van Noy. He'll be all over the place, too. But when you've got a dominant offensive line, Carm, you can sometimes dictate a little policy. And between the Indianapolis Colts and the Dallas Cowboys, maybe the Baltimore Ravens, but they've kind of do it with a little bit of hook and crook, you know, with the system that they run. So, but just truly dominant lines, you know, you're looking at Indy, Dallas, Baltimore. Am I forgetting somebody?
No, I don't think so.
I'm okay with those three.
I think that the Cowboys are an interesting play if you're looking for some gambling tips going into this weekend. We'll have a lot tomorrow. Mike and I will still have odds couple tomorrow night, 6 to 7. Don't forget that. Join Mike North and me tomorrow night, 6 to 7, and every Friday night on ESPN 1000 for the odds couple. But, you know, I always, one of the things that I like to do, especially we're so deep into the season now, when I, you know, you see a team that's getting points, and they're getting almost a touchdown, the Cowboys I'm talking about. Teams like that that have a lot of positive qualities about them, as Yurko just said, especially offensively. The ability to, you know, the great offensive line, the quarterback's playing great. They haven't run the ball great. Zeke hasn't been great this year, but Zeke's capable of being great. The line is very good. More than ever, or at least in the last couple of years, the receivers are making plays. Look at the emergence of Michael Gallup. Look at Amari Cooper. Dak's playing like probably a guy that's in the top three or four in the MVP conversation. When you have all that and a team that is second best in the league in yard margin, second best, that's the Dallas Cowboys. When they're that much ahead in terms of yardage gained versus yardage allowed, I love betting on teams like that, getting nearly a touchdown. You know, it's a tough place to play for the NFC teams, though. They've won, like, you know, 75% of their games. In the Belichick-Brady era, they're winning at, like, a 75% clip at home when they host a team from the NFC. But they got to cover a relatively big number. I kind of like the Cowboys this
week. Well, you see, if they're running the ball effectively, I think things get a lot tougher for New England. If they're running the ball, Dallas, things get tougher for New England.
For sure.
Yeah.
And New England's offense right now is just not very good. They miss Gronk badly, you know?
Well, they miss that. That's why I'm thinking if the Bears...
They can't run the ball.
I think the Bears should try to trade Adam Shaheen for anything to New England because they like that tall guy. He can't block for much, but maybe they might be able to develop him. You know they want to take a chance, but they hate trading to get people in. They love to trade their people and get more picks.
That's true. Huge showdown tonight in the AFC South. The Texans hosting the Colts. Houston is the favorite here, laying about 3.5. The Colts are beat half to hell, right? Marlon Mack has already been ruled out. He's got a hand injury. Paris Campbell's been out a couple of weeks with his own hand injury. The good news is it sounds like T.Y. Hilton's, I don't know, is that official, guys? T.Y. Hilton, I think, is good to go.
I thought I saw he was good to go
for
yes.
tonight. So that is extremely helpful for the Colts. They were a 1.5-point favorite in the first meeting of the year against the Texans at home in Week 7. They won by a touchdown. Indy has covered 3 straight in the series, Yurk, including the playoff win last year, and they've actually won 5 of the last 6 straight up in the series. So Indy has been the side recently, but I think after the shellacking last week, short week, Texans staying at home, Colts have to travel. I think the Texans bounce back after getting embarrassed last week against the Baltimore Ravens. This is a huge battle in the AFC South because right now, because of the tiebreaker, the Colts have the lead, but both teams are 6-4. You got a side for tonight, or are you just going to sit back and enjoy?
I think I'm going to sit back and enjoy tonight.
Should be a good one.
I haven't sat back and analyzed it to be able to sit here and tell you exactly what's happening. You and Mikey break it down like there's no tomorrow.
We do.
So it's at Houston, and it's
I like
emotional.
Houston a little
it's
bit
an
tonight.
Emotional play.
They need the game more.
As far as they were embarrassed last week.
They were,
so
you're right.
So after being embarrassed, you'd think they're going to find a way to respond.
And they need this game.
But here come the Colts. They've already rushed for 1,400-plus yards this year. You know, Marlon Mack's not going to play, but they're capable.
The backup ran for 100 last week anyway.
Yes, he did. And then Nykeem Hicks is also catching balls.
Yeah.
So Indianapolis is a very tough team because they got an offensive line. They can control the ball for 40 minutes.
How about the job? They can.
They can control the balls for 40 minutes.
How about the job Frank Reich has done? Yeah. You know, it's like, remember in Philly a few years ago, Doug Peterson was like their third choice. It's universally panned, right? Like, oh, look what are the Eagles doing? You're just going to an Andy Reid guy, and Doug Peterson can't be a head coach. And they didn't even really want him, and now they're stuck with Doug Peterson. Well, we know how that's worked out. Pretty good for the Eagles. Was it Frank Reich was the second or third choice, right? They wanted McDaniels. Wasn't McDaniels going to go, and he backed out? Remember? A year and a half ago?
Josh for the Colts?
Yeah. Josh McDaniels was going to be the guy, and then he's like, yeah, you know what? I'm staying. Bill's not going to be here forever, and whatever Bill said to him convinced him to stay in New England.
It was kind of embarrassing for the new general manager there.
Yeah. Yes. And then they go, okay, well, we'll hire Frank Reich. And people are like, yeah, really, Frank Reich? And look, that team has been really good. And they
drafted,
lose Andrew Luck, and they're right there in the playoffs.
That team drafted 2 offensive linemen that turned into instant starters. And Quentin Nelson, if he's not already, will one day be the best guard in the game.
Looks like he might be.
As far as the current players.
They drafted a great linebacker.
Because Larry Allen, Randall McDaniel, John Hogg, Hannah are still.
Yeah.
I wonder how many of those guys will be on the top 100 list that the NFL is going to release.
When is that list coming out?
It's coming out soon. I saw, you know, Walter Payton, they had a little thing out there. the NFL.
Well, they're doing the running backs, right? And I saw like they were doing the 100 greatest running backs of all time.
No, it's 100 greatest players.
No, I know, but they're doing. I think like each position might have.
That'd be hard.
Didn't I see that guy?
How do you do 100 running backs?
No, it's not 100 running backs.
I saw them showing highlights of individual players. Going, will they be in the top 100 players?
Oh, I got you.
Yeah,
I got you.
I mean, okay. I might sit down this week before the release of that thing and give you my top 100 players.
Would you really do that? That's a big
to do.
Yeah, like that takes a lot of work.
That's a big to do.
Remember, I told you I did one of those lists once. It's hard.
I might do the top 100 that I've seen.
Oh, that's good.
So it would limit me from about 72, 73 on. Yeah, maybe 75 to be fair.
I'm going to say the best running back you've ever seen. You might be a little biased because you played against guys, but I'm going to say Barry Sanders is number one.
I'd have Barry Sanders at the top of my list.
I'm going to say Walter Payton is number two.
Walter Payton is up there, yes.
And then I'm going to say the third greatest running back that Yurko has seen in his lifetime.
Now, remember, I saw a piece of Orenthal James Simpson.
Ooh. Would he be on there?
I saw a piece of O.J. Simpson.
Would he be on there?
I
would have said Eric Dickerson or Earl Campbell.
And Eric Dickerson doesn't get enough love.
He does not.
I saw a Mount Rushmore of Los Angeles players, and it didn't have Eric Dickerson on.
What?
And it was done by it was a game against the Bears.
Bears.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a Sunday night game.
They had the Mount
Rushmore.
They didn't
have Marshall Faulk up there.
Yeah,
instead.
Well, that's fine. And then they had Deacon Jones and Merlin Olsen. I'm just going to say, hold on. There's also no Jackie Slater.
Al Michaels did mention Eric Dickerson.
Yeah,
did he? As like he's the
like
next.
Like it also ran like he's by crazy
horse.
Yeah,
horse. Like if we had a fifth head here,
yeah,
we
was on the other side. Well, what about Jackie Slater?
Yeah, Jackie Slater, sure.
Jackie Slater was fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Carm, so I think this starts off this Friday at 7 on NFL Network with the top running backs that'll be on the list.
Okay.
And here is the final list. You want me to read the final list for you?
Sure. Yeah, please do.
Marcus Allen, Jerome Bettis, Jim Brown, Earl Campbell. I've never heard of this guy. Dutch Clark. Eric Dickerson, Tony Dorsett, Marshall Faulk, Red Grange, Franco Harris, Hugh McClanahan, or Hugh I don't know how you say his
name. Yeah,
he's
old. Yeah. No.
Okay, Lenny Moore.
From Baltimore.
Marion Motley, I've heard of him. He's great.
Of course.
Bronco Nagurski, Walter Payton, Adrian Peterson, and Mike Davis.
Wow. So did I hear Noah LaDainian?
Come on.
Mike Davis, stop it. Did I hear any LaDainian Tomlinson?
No LT.
Adrian Peterson, I'm glad. He'd make my list of the best running backs I've ever seen in my life.
You said Barry Sanders, right?
Oh, yeah.
Barry Sanders. Here's Marcus Allen and Jerome Bettis don't belong in the top 100 players of all time.
I did not say Barry Sanders is not on this list.
Well, then Sanders isn't on that list,
how could
that list is a joke.
Hold on, let me double check because that sounds crazy.
I saw the list. Barry was on there. I remember seeing it on the NFL Network earlier this week.
Yes. Yeah. So we're just going to assume that Barry Sanders is there.
Interesting list.
Barry's there. I mean, the bus was great. The bus played for L.A. and he played for L.A. and for Pittsburgh. He was a Ram at the beginning.
That's right. He was a Ram originally.
Oh, yeah.
I still think you're going to lose the bet though when the number one player comes out. It's going to be Tom Brady.
And I had Joe Montana.
I think you said Joe Montana.
Yeah, I had Joe Montana. I think it's going to be Joe Montana. There's going to be a little bit of deference to Joe Montana and the history. Yes, there will be. I believe it. You heard it here first.
I mean, it's got to be a quarterback, right?
They got to be number one. It can't not be number two.
No, right. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
The top 10 debate really is great. Where does Reggie White belong? Where does Lawrence Taylor belong?
Absolutely. I mean,
how many running backs do you have in the top 10?
I don't know. I mean, like Jerry Rice has to be in the top 10, right?
Well, he's of course.
LT has to be in the top 10.
Well, does Emmitt Smith have to be in the top 10?
No.
Just because Emmitt Smith has the record?
I would say absolutely, positively not.
Let me just finish. My list was incomplete. Barry Sanders, Gale Sayers, O.J. Simpson, Emmitt Smith, Jim Taylor, Thurman Thomas, LT, and Steve Van Buren.
So LT is on there. Yeah. Okay, I was going to say LT should probably be in there. Good list. Rice will be in there. LT should be in there. Montana will be in there.
Okay.
Brady will be in there. Peyton Manning will be in there.
We can agree there's no kicker or punter in the top 100. So let's not even play that game. We can eliminate that. How many tight ends are in your top 100 list?
None.
You got no tight ends in your top 100 list. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I thought you meant the top 10.
No, top 100.
Oh, not Coach, Gronk.
Yeah, top 10, I agree. We wouldn't have it.
Tony Gonzalez probably, right?
Maybe, yes.
Gronk for sure. I don't care what anybody says. When you start looking at what Gronk did in this league, you can't ignore the impact he had. Look at the touchdowns the guy scored. He was so good and so dominant. Like, I don't know. I think you can make a pretty good case that he was a top 100 player of all time. I'm serious. Rob Gronkowski played 115 games in this league, Yurko. He had 80 touchdowns.
Well, you've got Tom Brady.
80 touchdowns.
You got Brady. I got Joe Montana.
So this
Peyton
list
Manning
is
top 10 or not?
Yes. I'd say yes.
Now we're running out of places for people.
I know.
This is actually a little different list.
Oh, my God. This is what I'm saying. It's too confusing. Yeah, my head's spinning.
This isn't like 1 through 100. It's the all-time team.
But they are doing like a 100 greatest players, aren't they? I thought they were.
I'll double check, but this is like the all-time team.
We kept hearing him do that promo during the offseason, and we got into the debate one day with Waddle and Sylvie where we all thought it would be Brady. Me and Sylvie and Waddle thought it would be Brady, and Yurko said, no, I think it's going to be Joe Montana. I could have swore during the offseason as part of like the special 100-year anniversary, they said NFL Network is going to rank the 100 greatest football players of all time. They got so many lists. I mean, they're doing this year-long thing. I get it. But, my God, how many lists can you do? You've got us all confused. Adam Schefter will join us coming up next. Miles Garrett says that it was a racial slur that set him off during the skirmish last Thursday night. At least that's what he said during his appeal hearing with the league. Mason Rudolph and his attorneys are vehemently denying that and calling it a completely false accusation at this point. The very latest with Adam Schefter when he joins us next on ESPN 1000.
It's time now for Adam Schefter to join Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Everybody knows that Mitchell Trubisky's time in Chicago is coming.
If you want NFL news, Adam Schefter's the man to break it.
He was good, but he was inconsistent. Keep in mind, you know, this is a quarterback that was drafted in the same draft ahead of Deshaun Watson, ahead of Patrick Mahomes, and it gives you an idea of some of his ability.
Carmen and Yurko talk with Adam Schefter.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Hear Adam Schefter exclusively on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, each and every Thursday, Adam Schefter joins us. He'll be calling in just a couple of minutes. He's a busy man right now. He always is during the NFL season. Adam is brought to you by Hooters. The world-famous chicken wings are everyone's favorite while watching your favorite games. See you at Hooters. Big one tonight to watch in the AFC South, as we talked about. Got this Miles Garrett stuff. The hearing for the appeal was yesterday. I still think they're going to end up suspending him 8 games. We'll see. And then we'll talk some more Bears and some other goings-on in the National Football League with Adam. You follow him on Twitter, at Adam Schefter. The other big news of the day, the White Sox sign Yasmani Grandal to a 4-year, $73 million contract. It is the biggest deal in White Sox history. The biggest deal in Sox history. 4 years, 73 schmil. It's a lot of money for a guy that just turned 31, but he's a really good offensive player, very good pitch framer, and I think it's going to be a good deal for the White Sox. It sends them into the next phase of this rebuild where they're expected to compete, and their lineup could be very, very dangerous if Yasmani Grandal performs like he has over the last 5 years or so. And I told you that since 2015, no catcher in the game has walked more. He gets on base a lot. The White Sox, I think, were last in walks last year. They're still not a great on-base team, so he should help. And also, I filtered something wrong when I told you where he was statistically in OPS plus amongst catchers. He's actually fourth best amongst all catchers, at least 300 games played since 2015. Only Gary Sanchez and Buster Posey have been better than Grandal at plus 114 and Wilson Contreras right behind Grandal at plus 113. So that's the kind of offensive impact he's had since 2015. And the White Sox lineup could look like this, Yurk. Jeff Passan tweeted this. Said the White Sox lineup come, you know, June of next year could look like Nick Madrigal, Tim Anderson, who really had a great year offensively, surprised me.
Won the batting title.
I worry about the low walk rate. You know, you do. Is there major regression setting in because he just doesn't walk a lot and he doesn't have the hard contact that Moncada has. So it's a little scary, but he had a great year. He proved me wrong. So it could look like Madrigal, Tim Anderson, Abreu, who's back on the qualifying offer, Moncada, Grandal, Eloy hitting sixth. Think about that, a guy who could hit 35 home runs. Robert hitting seventh, McCann hitting eighth, and Lourie Garcia hitting ninth. It could look that way, like McCann is your DH. It's a pretty good lineup.
It's formidable. Might be able to score some runs.
I think so.
Problem is, can you score 9 a game because you haven't done anything with your pitching?
Well, you're going to be relying on guys coming back. I don't know that you can rely on Carlos Rodon anymore, can you?
I don't think you can, and you don't know what you're going to get in Kopech.
At least you can't rely on him to be, like, one of your two best, I don't think. Yeah, like, you're right about Kopech. I mean, although guys come back from Tommy John these days, knock on wood. I mean, it's guys come back. They're strong. They throw just as hard, sometimes even harder. I don't know if it's possible to throw harder than Kopech. But, like, Giolito proved a point. You know, Kopech's coming back. You know, maybe it's better that Carlos Rodon only has to be a three or a four, because I don't know. After the last couple of years with surgeries, I don't know how you can trust him. He just can't seem to stay healthy. He can't be consistently good. I still think they'll go out in free agency and sign somebody, too. It sure sounds like they're hot on Zach Wheeler, so we'll see. Adam Schefter joins us now to go around the NFL. Well, what a crazy week it's been. I mean, last Thursday we spent almost the entire time talking about the Kaepernick stuff. Then Thursday Night Football happened. And here we are a week later, and it's like kind of rearing its ugly head again, because apparently during the appeal hearing, Myles Garrett said that Mason Rudolph hurled a racial slur at him, and Mason Rudolph's attorneys are vehemently denying that. So what is going on, Adam?
Well, that is what's going on, Carmen. You summarized it pretty well. And we've got a case of he said versus he said. And again, I'll look at and reflect upon the comments that have come out of each respective camp. Each team's training facility since practice ended a short time ago. According to the Browns reporter, Sheldon Richardson said he hadn't heard anything about that with Mason Rudolph using a racial slur. Baker Mayfield was asked about Garrett's allegation that Rudolph used a racial slur and said it wasn't something he'd heard, including from anyone on the team. Cam Hayward, the Steelers defensive lineman, was very strong in defending Rudolph, said Rudolph came up to him at the end of practice today and told him, "I did not say that." So, I don't know what to believe. You know, everybody's left to make up their own mind about what did and didn't happen. The attorney for Mason Rudolph was very strong.
Very.
Sent me a statement that basically said, you know, why was this not said a week ago? Why was it not said before? Why does it come out now? It's a lie. Basically called out Myles Garrett. But, you know, this is where we are, where, honestly, everybody's tarnished here. Myles Garrett's tarnished because he swung the helmet, and Mason Rudolph is tarnished because I'm sure some people believe him and some people don't, right?
I mean, you do think that we would have heard about this, you know, in this day and age. I mean, how could you not? And it's not like it was just the two of them in some far corner of the football field where nobody else is around. You'd have to believe that that story would have come out, that somebody would have heard it if it was true.
Yeah, up until today, there had been no hint of this. Now, I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying there hadn't been a hint of this.
Right, exactly.
And so now we'll have to figure out what was and wasn't said on the field. You know what? David DeCastro and Marquise Pouncey and the other offensive lineman, 71 Feller for Pittsburgh, they were all right there.
Yeah.
I mean, they were right there. Feller was right there. If Mason Rudolph said that, I think we would have known about it.
I think so, too. What do you think happens ultimately with Garrett's suspension? Do they want to suspend him for, you know, like, say, 8 games? I mean, is that what they're going to come down with?
I don't think he's going to play again this year. I don't think we'll see Myles Garrett this year, period. Now, when he comes back next year, that's a different subject. I don't think I'll miss much time next year. I really don't.
Mm.
But to anyone who thought that, you know, Myles Garrett would be back this year, I'm not expecting that. I would not count on that at all.
Dare I say the Browns were, in a sense, almost hitting their stride after these last 2 weeks and now all this. Like, what does this do to the rest of their season, if anything?
Well, think about this. They're playing the Miami Dolphins on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be missing half of their starting defensive line. Larry Ogunjobi suspended for this game. Myles Garrett, we're waiting to hear what happens with him. And so, you know, there's hair for your defensive line right there. Now, you're playing the Dolphins. You still should be able to win the game.
Right.
But, you know, this team's trying to get some momentum, change the culture. And it's just, it's really, it's a bad look for everybody. It's a bad look for the NFL. The NFL lost last Thursday night. The Steelers lost. The league lost. The Browns lost, even though they won. Even when the Browns win,
right,
they lose.
Right. That's so Cleveland. Adam Schefter's our guest. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Does Pouncey have a good leg to stand on here in terms of winning an appeal? Because, you know, it seems like they just want to make sure he's not back for the second meeting in a couple weeks. Like, is he going to get his suspension reduced?
As I said, I would be surprised if we see Myles Garrett play football again this season. I would be.
What
now,
about,
look,
what about Pouncey?
I think I won't be surprised if his suspension is reduced one game.
Okay.
That would not surprise me.
I
could see that happening. Hmm. But again, I'm not in on these appeal hearings, and I don't know the specific arguments. But, you know, again, I've got two good sources, my left eye and my right eye, that tell me what happened, right? And so it's we all watched it. We all saw it. You tell me what is fair and what's not.
I don't know if three games for Pouncey's fair. We were debating this last week, and yeah. I
don't think it is.
Yurko didn't think it was.
Right, and not only that, I thought it was a game. I thought the guy that pushed Mason Rudolph down in the back, he should have got a penalty flag, and that was it.
His argument is, wait, they don't want him. Like, he's saying, the Steelers are saying, they don't want him to play against the Browns again this year because that matchup is that would cover the suspension.
Right.
And so some people think that that's why it's unfair, that it's too many games.
Well, let me tell you what happened here with Larry Ogunjobi. I think what the league objected to, they felt like the push of Mason Rudolph to the ground incited people, and it led to people running onto the ground, running onto the field. And so when there's an instance that leads to escalating violence or the potential of escalating violence, then it becomes an issue in the league to defense there.
They play Cleveland next week again, guys.
I got you.
Yeah, so
the initial incident is what was going to incite all the everybody's attention.
Right.
Everybody was coming to the fray no matter what. It had already escalated. I mean, it didn't become even worse when he ended up doing that. Either way, the NFL made the decision. It's one game. I guess the kid's going to be able to survive it and not be a problem. But there's precedent out there that everybody's citing as far as suspensions go. And Garrett cited the one with Incognito when he got the Houston Texans swung the thing at him. That was a three-game suspension.
Right.
So why have we gone from three to whatever? So everybody's kind of citing precedent. Wait a minute, how can you suspend me for this when you only suspended this guy for that?
Well, they didn't make contact. You know, you make contact, and it's different, I guess.
Well, with the quarterback and Myles Garrett, I understand.
I mean. Yeah.
When he tried to kick him in the helmet, did he make contact to the helmet?
I don't know.
I didn't get an angle where I get to say, saw another angle where he made contact with the helmet.
Well,
trying to kick Myles Garrett.
It's the big story in the league for now. We'll follow that. What about the Bears, Adam, and the benching of Trubisky? Or, you know, maybe that's too strong. I mean, he was definitely hurt, but it seemed like his cage was so rattled mentally and physically. Mm-hmm. They almost did him a favor by just taking him out of that game. I mean, do you think they've got some definitive answers, or are they still going to use these last 6 weeks to kind of see what they have in Mitchell Trubisky? What are they thinking up there?
I think that, you know, you touched on it, like they did him a favor. And I refer to it just a little bit of a different case last year with Sam Darnold with the Jets. He was really struggling early in the year, and people were saying, oh, they should bench him. And the Jets eventually did put him on the bench, but he got hurt. He hurt his foot, I think. And he spent 3-4 weeks on the bench, 5 weeks. And when he came back to finish up the season, he looked like a different guy. Like, and we've been saying this about Mitchell Trubisky for a while. Like, maybe he needs a physical and a mental break. Maybe he just needs to step away, clear his head, and get back to playing like the guy he was last year when he was a good quarterback. Like, I think he's internalized so much, put so much pressure on himself, and wants to be good so badly.
Yeah.
That it's counterproductive right now, and he's lost his confidence.
I mean, do you think that? I mean, none of us will know this. I mean, we're all just sort of speculating, but it can't be easy for the kid. And not that I feel bad for him. I mean, like, he's a grown up, he's a big boy, he's a professional athlete, but like, it can't be easy when you're drafted where he's drafted, and then the guys behind you are next level great, right? I mean, that's got to be hard.
next level, like. That's a good way of saying it. And, yeah, I can't imagine what that would be like to be walking around a city where you know everybody's questioning you.
Yes.
And wondering about you and criticizing you, right? Like, how many people there right now this season are staunch Mitch Trubisky fans? We're standing by him through thick and thin. Like,
it's dwindling. Yeah, it's dwindling.
Okay, that's not practical. So that's got to affect your psyche, right?
I think.
There's no way it doesn't. I mean, his confidence is dented. It just is.
Yeah, I mean, we're all human at the end of the day, you know? Like, you could pretend there's something else, but He's human. And again, I'm not saying that anybody has to feel bad. That's not what I'm getting at here, because
no.
This is his job. This is his life.
This is what he does.
This is what he does. It's just got to be hard. And it's at no fault of his own. He didn't draft himself second overall. But when that went down the way it went down, and they've put all their eggs going into the season into the Mitchell Trubisky basket, you know, Mahomes is the reigning MVP. Watson, you know, last week was a clunker, but he's probably somewhere in the conversation, especially if he plays well over the last 6 weeks. Like, that can't be, and he's a million miles away from being as good as they are. Like, that can't be easy. It just is probably compounding the problem, I guess, is all I'm saying.
Well, I would agree with that. And by the way, there were many scouts that year, many, who felt like he was the top quarterback prospect in the draft. I remember speaking specifically to one highly respected scout who was telling me, there's no doubt Trubisky's the best quarterback in this class. Wow. I remember that specifically.
Man.
You know, it's not unique to Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay, now the Chiefs did love Mahomes, and the Texans loved Deshaun Watson, and everybody had their own preferences. I got it. But I'm just saying the Bears were hardly on an island by themselves.
Right.
That's all.
Will the Chargers have a home in L.A., or might they end up moving back to San Diego? And is that Super Bowl that's supposed to be in Los Angeles in jeopardy?
Why would the Super Bowl in Los Angeles be in jeopardy?
Because of cost overruns and weather, rain delays?
No. The stadium is going to be open. They already pushed back the Super Bowl by a year.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Oh, yeah. No. So the Super Bowl order goes Miami this year, Tampa next year, New Orleans the year after, then LA.
I got you.
And so the stadium is going to be ready, and it is pricier than they expected, but they're not in danger of losing that game at all. The Super Bowl is going to be in LA. That's going to happen. And in regards to the Chargers, I've never heard them moving back to San Diego being an option. As much as it would make sense for everybody, like everybody thinks that would be a great thing and that's where they belong, but. I was told that's not happening. And I will say, from having been in Mexico City on Monday night, I don't say this in a mocking way. I don't say this in a critical way. I don't say this in a joking way. They have more support in Mexico City than they do in Los Angeles. They just do.
It seemed like
the fans were like, the fans love them there. They come out in droves. They're going crazy for them. And I'm just saying, you don't see that support for the Chargers in L.A. You don't.
Would they put a team there? I mean, look, we know the logistical issues related to playing in Europe. I mean, that's tough. You're talking about time zones and crossing an ocean and for teams on the West Coast. Like, it almost seems impossible. Mexico City, that's a different story. Like, could they do that someday?
I mean, I have not heard it discussed, but look, the league is a business, right? So I'm just telling you, if you put the Chargers, you know how much Chargers memorabilia, souvenir, well, merchandise, Chargers merchandise you'd sell?
Yeah.
It would be off the charts. And so I've never heard anybody bring it up as a realistic, practical idea. I propose it. Yeah. You know, they would do great in Mexico City. Great.
Adam, have a great week. Thanks as always.
We'll talk
to you next Thursday.
Okay, guys, have a great week.
See you, buddy.
Thank you, Adam.
That's Adam Schefter. Maybe we'll talk to him earlier in the week because next Thursday's Thanksgiving. So
the cost of that stadium's gone from $1.8 billion to $6
billion. Wow! That's like, you missed by a long shot there.
Yes.
More than three times.
Yes.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
That's where it's at.
What a rotation coming up, though. Miami, Tampa, New Orleans, L.A. It's pretty good the next 4 years for the Super Bowl. Let's hope the Bears go to one of those. So we could all have some fun someplace warm in February.
This was the year, Miami. Remember all the correlations, all the numbers?
I know. Maybe in 2 years, back in New Orleans, Eric, who knows? Miami, Tampa, New Orleans, L.A., woo, that's a fun rotation. No Minnesota in there, no Detroit. Nothing against Indy, nice town, but, you know, New Orleans versus Indy. Yeah, we had a good time in Indy at the Super Bowl.
We had a ball.
I'd like to go with you to New Orleans for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I've been there. It's good.
Those Chargers, man, that's a team without a home. Nobody cares in L.A. Maybe they should go to Mexico City. They did get more support down there.
Well, the problem is they're trying to generate PSLs, and they've already lowered the prices of upper deck PSLs.
Who cares? Nobody wants it.
So how are they going to pay for their share of that stadium that keeps going up and up and up and up?
To $6 billion.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's at $5 billion right now for sure.
But they're going to go to $6 billion.
In the article that I read, the reference is that it's going to go up to $6 billion.
Wow.
And that's just the way it is. And that's on ProFootballTalk.com.
Holy cow. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Can't Miss Radio with Barstool Big Cat at 4 o'clock. JD with the latest on Mitch's health and last night's Bulls game against D-Rose.
We get started at 2. Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
All right, the boys are in 10 minutes for crosstalk. There is breaking news. The Myles Garrett indefinite suspension has been upheld. So they're still not telling you how long it's going to be. They're still just terming it indefinite.
The rest of the season and the rest of the season and postseason. Right. And then he's eligible to reapply.
That's what he'll have to do, I guess, huh?
Yep.
Wow, so you don't think they'll even put a number on it? They'll just wait till he reapplies?
Reapplies.
Wow, so the indefinite suspension for the rest of the year has been upheld. Myles Garrett will not return in 2019. They probably weren't going to make the playoffs anyway, even though they should get to 5 wins this weekend. I mean, it's in the AFC, it's easier. It's more doable than in the NFC, but the Browns aren't going to make it. Now, Marquise Pouncey's suspension has been reduced from 3 to 2, and this is what I was talking about with Adam. The Steelers are upset, saying it should have never have been 3. They knew they'd probably get it reduced down to 2, but they're doing that specifically so he misses this week and next week, because next week is the rematch with the Browns. And they think that's too convenient, that the league didn't want him to be on the field against the Browns, and they don't want chicanery to happen. And so they suspended him 3, knowing it would get knocked down to 2, and he still misses. I don't know. I mean, they probably felt like it should have been 1-game suspension this week only against Cincinnati, when they probably don't need him to beat the winless Bengals. And they were hoping he'd be back for next weekend's matchup at home against the Browns, but that won't happen. Marquise Pouncey's suspension has been reduced only from 3 to 2 games. So there's the very latest, Yurk. A lot happened in the NFL.
Well, listen, anytime you get in trouble, there's a chance you're going to get suspended, and there you go.
We got a few minutes to talk to our buddy Chuck Garfine. I think he got off the call, the conference call with Rick Hahn. Big news for the White Sox today. Chuck, of course, covers the Sox for NBC Sports Chicago, and we've been, normally, the last couple of years, Chuck, we've had to wait until February before the big free agent sign. Yasmani Grandal qualifies to me as a big free agent. He was the best catcher available on the market. He signs a pretty big deal. So the White Sox strike early. It was nice.
Yeah, I would say baseball Christmas, baseball Hanukkah came early for White Sox fans. I was dreading another long hot stove or cold stove season, not just for the White Sox, but just all of baseball, considering a lot of these deals end up happening or have been happening later in the offseason. But this was a great sign for the White Sox. And I really feel, after what happened last year with Machado, and they were kind of like dragged through the winter, I mean, obviously they had something to do with it too in terms of when the offer would come, but it just took forever, and it was so taxing on White Sox fans. And they clearly started this offseason singling out, okay, who do we want? Let's go get them. And no messing around. They gave him this great offer, and he's exactly what they need in terms of a left-handed bat. He's also a right-hander, a great pitch framer, a catcher. He can play some first base as well. And he's been to the postseason, I believe, 5 years in a row, the last 5 seasons. And we'll have to figure out what it means for James McCann, who was an all-star at the start of the first half of the season. He was great, and he's got a lot of respect inside the White Sox clubhouse. And Hahn said, you know, this is a good problem to have, if you want to call it that, having him and Grandal on your team. Is also Zach Collins. We'll see if there's another move that might go down the road in the offseason. But for now, Grandal is here with the White Sox. 4 years. It's the largest contract in the history of the White Sox in terms of dollar amount, $73 million.
You mentioned the pitch framing. What happens if 2 years through this contract, it doesn't matter anymore if they go to automated strike zone? Is that really
fine?
And is it okay?
I'm fine. No problem. I'll take everything else that he brings to the table. I mean, he's arguably the best catcher in baseball, not only the catcher he is defensively, but what he brings offensively. His 109 walks were the most, or I think the second most, in the National League. The most walks of any White Sox player last year was Yomer Sanchez with 44.
How about that?
He brings so much more to the table than just pitch framing. And this is a great sign going forward for, you know, what might come next. The Sox are here. They mean business. And if there's other free agents out there, I think the White Sox become an even better destination for free agents, knowing that, oh, Grandal signed up. And I kind of equate this to the John Lester signing with the Cubs 5 years ago, or it was 5 years ago, when you know, he's not John Lester. It's not the same amount of money, but it's the first big free agent signing as they've come out of this rebuild with a guy saying, you know what, I believe in this. I want to be a part of this. Hop on board. Let's go.
Real quick, before we let you go, Chuck, and we're up against the break in just a minute. We wanted to talk to you earlier, but I know you had to hop on the Han call. Do you think they're zeroing in on Zach Wheeler?
I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't. I mean, I think that is a logical free agent for them to go to next. I can't say for certain. There's obviously reports that they're tied to him. All I can say is I hope Yasmani Grandal and Zach Wheeler have a great relationship already. That would maybe help the White Sox case to get him.
Well, they're not related or anything like last year. At least they don't have to do all that. But, yeah, if they have a good relationship, that's good, right?
Yeah, that would definitely be a plus. And, I mean, what Han said on the conference call is like, hey, we're very pleased with the signing of Grandal, but now it's on to the next one. I mean, they're focused on what's next.
All right, good. I love it. Chuck, thanks, buddy. Have a great holiday next week.
All right, you too. Thanks,
talk
guys.
To you soon, buddy.
Right,
that's Chuck Arfine. That's Chuck Arfine on Twitter, of course, and NBC Sports Chicago. We're going to crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie coming up next.
Wonderful,
good kid.
Wonderful.
On ESPN.
You asked the question I was going to ask.
What was that?
About Zach Wheeler.
About Wheeler, yeah.
Yeah, that's why. I was going, the Grandal can't pitch.
No.
Hopefully, you did. Yeah. So I appreciate it. I love sitting in the background while you sit there and dissect White Sox. You know,
we only had a couple quick minutes.
I understand. My point is I love it when you get excited about your White Sox.
Very excited.
Look at you. I think your nipples are hard.
I think they might
be. They are.
They could cut glass. We will cross talk with Waddle and Sylvie next on ESPN 1000.